Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fucking dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. With Kat
and Pat.
Hey!
Hey!
It's Cappuccino featuring Miss Cookie.
And it's Pat just featuring me, myself, and Irene. And this is Seek Treatment,
a podcast
about boys, sex, hugging, dating, and loving, and loving one another.
Why I keep saying the phrase Miss Cookie? Well, let me tell you, it's because I'm fostering a little puppy right now. And her name happens to be Miss Cookie, and she's Miss Cookie Incorporated, and she's being that way every hour. And I got her yesterday, and she's obviously cuckoo and a half. She loves to shit and piss all over the house.
Ew.
She's so precious. No, it's hell, of course, but she's so prescienta. I know she's in my lap right now because we went on a long walk this morning, and then she had some kennel time, some crate time while I wrote my piece for our class.
Oh, I have to like look over my thing. I wrote it, I speed wrote it yesterday, and I have to like go back and look. Mine's more whatever.
I'm so grateful to you because I really like, this is the first thing I've written in like 9 months.
Oh, good. You know, me and Catherine are both taking this class, her Brooklyn Writers Collective, and I,
Well, there was some drama, but we got through our fight.
We got through our fight. What was I going to say about, oh, it's so vulnerable. Like when you were coming in, I was like, I hope you like it, whatever.
I love that stuff. It's like my heaven.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I felt bad because I was like, I didn't think people went to the thing last night. So I didn't think I was going. And then you texted me and I was like, oh, I guess I'll hop on. It was Miss Cookie's first night. So it was a little bit wild with her.
Typically it's just like, I guess it was a little different because it was like get to know, but typically it's just like write and then prompt and then write and read and write and read. But anyways, you know,
anyways,
I don't know.
So
I woke up in the worst mood. I had a show last night, but I was so tired at it, and then I got so depressive after
where
it.
Where was the show?
The show was at the Elysian. I was opening for
Naomi.
Yeah.
I saw her post being like, "This is officially a Hacks talkback."
Oh,
you and Hannah.
Yes, I added that copy.
I love your joke about the show.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that in my hour. It was fun. It was so fun chatting with Hannah. We have to have her on.
Oh, we should definitely have her on. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone who came to our LA show because I had the best time.
Yeah, I had the best time even though I wasn't like absolutely firing on all
cylinders. But do you think you're funny now that you look back? Because you had one of the best lines of the night, which was that girl was giving Manson girl meets dry bar.
Oh yeah. That girl was heaven. She's one of us. The girl, and she taught. I literally am like going to my. I've added to my tool bag her famous psychological discovery that quote holding things makes you less stressed. When you're
that was
holding,
so counterintuitive
to hear this 24-year-old girl who I will openly take a bullet for tell
she was
it.
Named Rachel. Shout out to Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel.
She's an old soul. You'll hear in the episode.
She's an old soul, absolutely trapped in a 24-year-old's body, can't get out of it.
Help a celebrity get me out of here.
Help an old soul get me out of here. And she said that so anyways, I woke up, I was in such a bad mood. I did my morning pages, thank God. And I was like, why don't I walk to Erewhon, get out of my head, and get a smoothie. I would just run down because I was at the wedding, and then I flew back.
When did you get back to LA?
Sunday. I slept at my friend's, then
I love meeting your friend. He's absolute angel vibes. I wish we could talk more next time.
Yeah. Next time.
Girl, you coming here.
But so then, like, I hadn't slept in my bed since, like, and I slept at my friend's on Thursday night, too. So I hadn't slept in my bed since maybe Wednesday night. Yeah. But, so then I walked to Erewhon and I got the Remember smoothie, and the thing that it came with these packets of like the supplement that was in the smoothie, and on it it said helps support for worry, stress, and overwhelm. So I keep saying like, well,
support for overwhelm.
Did you write the copy? Yeah. I'm on support for overwhelm, and then
I actually want to share that about, I would say, 8 months after seeing my psychic, I've just purchased the supplement she recommended. I wasn't ready, but I just ordered them on Amazon.
Now, what is that support for?
One of them is just called Calm, so sounds good.
Okay.
One of them is like support for like cells. It's like make more cells.
Yeah.
Make more cells. And
well,
then
someone told me it's actually bad to make more cells because then it's a higher chance that when there's a new cell in the mix,
that cells will be cancy.
Well, yeah, like every cell might be cancer. So, like,
so
if you're
more cells you have, the worse off you are.
Well, yeah, the more if it's a raffle, if getting cancer is a raffle, right. Then having another cell, it's another ticket you have. You're putting in the raffle box.
Is a raffle. It's literally
tick-tock
on the clock because the party will stop.
I had, when I was younger, a gambling addiction with raffles. When there was a raffle, I was like, take everything. Like, I'll always remember being at like my cousin's school's fundraiser, and they were raffling off like a thing of Beanie Babies. And I was like, I need to win. I remember like scraping together everything I owned to enter this raffle. And I bought so many raffle tickets that even like the lady working it, because I had to leave before they called it. And my aunt, the next time I saw my aunt, she was like, my friend who was on the raffle tickets really came over to me and said, I'm so sorry your nephew didn't win the beanies, because I know he really wanted it.
This is the last thing I'll say in my life before we bring our guests in, is that when I was young, I'm not kidding, I would always win bingo. I would always win bingo.
Oh, bingo's a classic game that's like easy to win. It's equally easy for everyone to win, which makes it hard to win.
Okay, let's bring our guest in before we really get again. Couldn't be happier to have at this point, family on the pod. Ears open
for Joel Kim Booster.
Oh my God, hello. This is so exciting to be back. I know you've probably already covered this, Catherine, but who is joining you on your Zoom screen right now?
Thank you for asking. This is Miss Cookie.
Miss Cookie.
This is a little Miss Cookie. I'm fostering her. My dream in life is to have a dog, but right now I do, and thank you to my fans, travel too much, so I'm fostering while I'm in town.
That's amazing. That's
incredible. I think anyone who fosters dogs should continue to do so. I think it's so important. But I do think, like, if I were to foster a dog, like, for me, like, you know, I can develop a rapport with dogs, but I need to know that, like, we're in it for the long term. Like, it's a work. It's like
it is work.
I can't walk down this. My friend can walk down the street and see someone else walking a dog, and in that moment experience joy from seeing that person's dog. And for me, I need to like have multiple interactions with the dog, feel like the dog knows me, and then feel like, okay, now we are having some kind of rapport. Do you know what I mean? And if I was fostering the dog, I'd be like, well, what's it all for?
Ultimately, I'm sort of the opposite. I have really lovely sort of brief interactions with dogs on the street, but as soon as a dog is sort of in my space or in my world for long periods of time, I really don't care if they live or die.
Wow. You know,
I think that's sort of how I am with men too.
Weirdly. Oh, but you're famously in an LTR.
I am in an LTR right now.
How long has it been? I meant to ask you.
It's almost 2 years now. Can you believe
that's so long?
You're so in love, aren't you?
I am deeply in love. I am so deeply in love.
That makes me happy.
I feel like he's more of a cat. I mean, he is, his personality is much, he's very much of a dog, but I'm a cat person. And I think that is, I don't know, like I very much don't feel him. It's not the same as I see him as a human being, not a dog, if that makes sense.
That sounds really good.
You know, I met this baby. I met this baby on the picket line 2 days ago. And she was amazing.
She already has representation.
Star quality. Her mom was walking in support and was we had a mutual friend of their mom. And the baby, what's fun about when there is a baby on the picket who has so much star quality is you're holding this sign so you can kind of babies do. It's so classic, but it's so true. Like babies, when you do peekaboo to a baby, it like literally gets its life. So like I was kind of doing that with my son. She was walking behind them. She was loving it. She was obsessed, whatever. And then I was talking to the mom, and because the baby couldn't stop looking at me. So the mom was like, she really liked
because you were serving cunt. And then, you were serving cunt in a way that the baby understood.
I was serving, exactly. And then my mutual friend, who have another friend who I have an amazing relationship with, our mutual friend's baby, like she was like, oh my God, your babies do love Pat. And then the woman was like, do you know about Miss Rachel? And I was like, I don't know about Miss Rachel. And she was like, Miss Rachel is a woman on YouTube who just does a green screen and like interacts with, I guess, babies via YouTube. And she makes $500,000 a month from her YouTube channel. From her YouTube channel, Miss Rachel makes $500,000 a month. She's worth $10 million at this point. And she just like looks in the cam and sings like, Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Why are any of us doing what we're doing right now?
I know.
Actually, this is just like when I found out my friend makes 400 grand a month on OnlyFans for farting on cakes.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
That's all he does. He doesn't do collabs. He just farts on cakes.
Wait, this sounds familiar. Do I know the person? Or maybe I've just heard
I might have pointed them out. I feel like I probably pointed them out to you one time in a shared space, but I don't think you know this person unless you are a fan.
No, I don't. I wouldn't derive any sexual pleasure from seeing someone fart on a cake. I don't like farting.
If you're listening and that is exciting to you, we support you and we urge you to check out Joel's friend's work.
Yeah. Wait. How much did you say he's making?
He makes like $400,000, maybe a year. Maybe that's more.
That
accurate.
Seems more reasonable.
But yeah. that's amazing.
Still a lot of money.
That's still a lot of money.
Because then you have a lot of extra time to do if you want to do another source of income besides this farting.
Well, right. And he did sort of buy an apartment complex and is becoming a landlord. And I should say now at this point, reveal, he's not really a friend. He's just a gay guy I know.
Okay. Did you make love to him one time?
No, I'm not a cake. So
yeah. So you're not his type. You're not his type.
I am not a cake.
But anyways, and then when the woman was leaving the picket line, she was like, cause she had, her thing was like, since babies are responding to you, like you should do a baby YouTube. And then when she was leaving, she like looked back and really earnestly said, like, think about what I said about Miss Rachel. I was like, all right.
No.
I was like, I guess. I might go back on Cameo for a little while or something in this joke or whatever, but it's so stressful.
I feel like sort of the Miss Rachel path for you is sort of the perfect use of your skills as both a nanny and a comedian.
1000%. I do, but I would, you know, I feel like if you want to be a Miss Rachel type, you need to at least be able to carry a tune. I think that's like the tool I'm missing in my tool belt to really pull on the big money as a Miss Rachel type.
And Pat, I will say I've sort of been a pioneer in this space, in the space of saying that Pat has gotten really good at singing over the course of this pod. As someone who listens regularly, I think if you track the progress from the beginning of the early days of Taylor or Lord, even.
Totally.
To now,
totally.
You know?
Well, you know what I'm obsessed with? And I now can't get Bad Blood out of my head because of the iconic video of Taylor standing up for her fan at the concert. Did you see that?
No, what's that video?
No.
Oh my God, you have to watch it. It's so good.
You know that she's annoying me now because I don't like that guy.
Oh, I do like that guy.
No, I don't.
Pat, you can't like that guy. He's said horrible racist things.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's done a Nazi salute.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I bet you did. And that's why you like him.
I love that.
I saw them on Saturday Night Live in like 2015 and I was like, oh, that's like cool. And then I haven't thought about them since until this moment. So
anyways, what happens
now? I know. Basically, she's singing Bad Blood and like in like the second row, security, I guess, is like trying to kick a woman out. And so she's like, it's so bad. Hey, she wasn't doing anything. Think about the good times. She's fine. You and I. Hey, stop. And then, like,
oh my God,
she's,
I love it.
And then, like, she's like, and then it works out perfectly with the music where she's about to turn and walk to the back of the stage. And she's like, you are like, or she's like, now we got bad blood. Hey, stop. And then she like walks away. She's just like, kind of like standing up to the security guard.
Wow.
Okay, and not to defend security here, but how could Taylor possibly know that she wasn't doing anything? How could she be like, I am actually really shocked that like she would even be aware of what's going on.
We see
in
the
second
girl,
row of the crowd.
The woman,
like, how much?
She's like, the girl's like wearing a suicide vest. She's like about to blow the place up.
Stop. Everyone's welcome here. She's fine. That does really remind me of me at Club Coming when the girl fainted. The girl with the Susan Alexander bag fainted from having vodka soda and Xanax.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm legally obligated to say every time the name Susan Alexander is mentioned,
right,
is that,
that
she will not send me a bag, because probably, but the only reason at this point I could think of to not send me a bag, but to send everyone in my orbit a bag, is that she thinks I'm literally just too masculine and too straight seeming to even pull off carrying a beaded bag. That must be what she's thinking.
Beaded bag. I'll touch base.
Susan can see it for me. She's
wait,
like,
can
no.
I tell you guys my new life motto?
Wait, please.
It is tangentially related to this, but it is now whenever someone, I was talking to Jared to set this up. I was talking to Jared Goldstein yesterday and he wanted to make a purchase, and I looked at him and I just said, get the Prada, get the Prada.
Oh.
And get the Prada?
Yes. And it works in multiple contexts. It really does. If you're not even talking about Prada, mm-hmm. but it's sort of like the polar ice caps are melting. Get the Prada.
Totally.
Like, what's holding
God,
you back?
Yeah.
Get the Prada.
Yeah.
Oh
totally.
My God, get the Prada.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might get the Prada. I was telling Kevin, I forget if we had started recording or not, but I might get the Prada vis-a-vis peptides, which I also texted Jewel about.
Yeah, that's true.
What
yeah,
is it?
No, wait, Pat, seriously, get the Prada. Get the peptides.
I'm going to get the
what
Prada.
What is a peptide? Is it like powder?
Well, there's some you like inject.
Oh, that's scary. That seems...
I know it is scary, but get the Prada.
Yeah,
the
life
Prada
is short. Get the Prada.
Drugs.
there is not an intravenous drug. I'm going to buy it today, I think, but I don't know that I'll take it. Because I will say one of the main things is like anti-aging, which I don't struggle with, but I think it's supposed to help with your sleep, and then it's supposed to help with like, you know, I've been trying to lift, and so I think it'll help with like muscle growth.
Yeah, I know you've been going to my old gym.
I know, I
oh
love
God,
it there.
Everyone is obsessed with this gym. When I was in LA last week, I mentioned the name of Pat's friend, and someone goes, I used to go to that gym. I'm like, yeah. What is this gym?
It really is. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful space, you know.
Now, would I, as a weak, weak, soft woman, be welcome there?
Yes, absolutely.
Of course. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome.
Wait, let's get down to business. Joel, how are you? And more importantly, since you've last been on the pod, first of all, I haven't seen you in about 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So I can see your beautiful face. Congrats on everything. And I want to ask you, since you were last on the pod, who are you? Who are you? And who do you want to be?
Wow, that's a really interesting question that I've been really wrestling with since about an hour ago when I remembered that I was going to come on the podcast. And I guess, like, who was I? We'll start from where I was at when I was on the podcast, and that was largely a cruise enthusiast slut. I think that's, like, mostly what we talked about last time was, like, how much I loved cruises. And
you famously said the sentence. You famously said the sentence. I had some of the best sex I've ever had on the boat.
Yeah, and that was sort of who I was, and I was in I would say I was in a really good place. Just back then, I was sort of on the precipice of like, you know, really things happening, and ooh. Hold on. And I was just living fancy free. And I was in that period of my life where I was like, I do not want a relationship. And it was like so freeing because
that.
I feel like for most of my 20s, I was like, I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship. In fact, if you, Catherine, I know you
Central
recall
Park.
Central Park. I really made sort of a breakup with a guy I'd been with for 3 months, a central part of my personality for
a
good long while.
Story. It was a part of everyone's story.
I forgot about that part of my story, is that you broke up on a Central Park park bench that time on a lunch break from work.
From Billy on the Street.
Yes.
I feel like that guy was like in Wicked or something, but believe it if I'm wrong.
He was in, he was Broadway adjacent for sure. Okay. He was in SpongeBob, actually, okay. I should say. I
remember seeing him, I only met him one time, and it was at a, I think it was like an I Don't Think So Honey contestant. And I think I was rude to him on your behalf.
Yeah, well, thank you. We're fine now, obviously. It's water right. under the bridge at this point.
Totally.
I still wanted to talk about that today.
Yeah. let's unpack that.
5 years later,
that.
I'm pissed.
And now who am I? I am a person that is in a loving, committed relationship with a beautiful human being who is a huge fan of yours, Catherine, I will say.
No.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Let me ask you this.
He's so sweet.
I'm so curious, like when you met him, did you know right away something was different, or was it sort of like over time you're like, wait, what are we doing? This feels like so special.
So this is weird to talk about, but like my dad died in March, and right. Like post my dad dying, it really like made me think about my life in a very specific way. Mm. And specifically it made me think about, like, you know, my relationship with my parents is fine. You know, famously they're very religious, and like it for so long, because I wasn't in a relationship, that part of my life was very much don't ask, don't tell. Mm. You know, like they weren't curious about my dating life because they didn't want to know about my dating life, and I didn't have a dating life to share with them. So it was never a struggle for me. And then my dad died, and I was sort of like, oh, like I wish I hadn't left things so unspoken with him.
Yeah.
Like, I sort of wish I knew like how he would react to things, like yeah. if I were to bring a guy home. And so I remember I had this moment where I talked to my mom, and I was like, you know, I think I'm sort of ready for a relationship. And like, how would you react if I brought a guy home? And she was very much like, well, like, you know, we're not on the same page on a lot of things in your life. But if you brought someone home that you loved and loved you, then like, I would love them as much as I love Dan, who's my brother-in-law.
Wow.
I'm like going to start crying. That is so
yeah,
beautiful.
It was like a really wonderful moment for me and my mom. And it's such a shame. You know, and she assures me that like, that's how my dad would feel too. Mm-hmm. And so then like, flash forward a month, I go to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for Puerto Vallarta Gay Pride. And this is post-vaccine and pre-Delta variant. So we had thought, we were like,
we had no idea.
We did it. We beat it. We beat it. COVID's yeah. over. This is it. Like, this was my first big like gay trip post all of that. And so I was really excited. I was with all of my friends from San Francisco. And on the first night, we're at this like party, and we meet up with some other people from San Francisco, including my now boyfriend, John Michael. And it was like, it was weird because I had sort of like, after I had that conversation with my mom, I had put in the universe, I was like, I want a boyfriend, and he has to meet three very specific criteria.
Oh my God, this is the beginning of a rom-com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way. He has to do the same drugs that I do, and he has to be kind, and he cannot bring up within the first 15 minutes of meeting him how disgusting he thinks homeless people are, which is a really tall order in LA. Would not believe how many gay guys you talk to who are like, wow, this city's really going to shit because of all these tents.
Jam didn't bring it up till 17 minutes in.
Yeah, exactly. He was in the clear. And I met him, and like, it's funny, like, we met and it was fine. And then like, he came out of the bathroom at one point, and I thought, this is so funny, I thought he was going in for a kiss and he thought I was going in for a kiss.
Classic.
And it was a mistake. Neither one of us was going in for a kiss, but we ended up kissing anyways. And then he was night one guy. And like, we've both done these party. We're both, again, like, he meets criteria number one. He parties the same way that I do.
So what are your drugs of choice, if you feel safe sharing?
Oh, you know, okay.
Mm-hmm,
you know, I'm not a Molly girl, can't do it with my brain, but like, sometimes he'll partake, you know, just all of the the whole alphabet, really.
Okay.
Responsibly, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, ethically
sourced, farm to table.
But I took him home,
farm to table Molly,
or he took me home, and we had a wonderful lovemaking session. And then we walked out onto the beach, and we sat on the beach and listened to music and talked about our lives until like 5:30 in the morning. And then I left, and it was one of those things where I was like, okay, we both know how we operate on these weekends. Like, you're night one guy, and like, we both had the, we had this conversation where we're like, go off like the rest of the weekend. Like you do not have to notice me or care about me at all. Like do your thing. Yeah. And then it just like, we never stopped hanging out. Like you became night two guy, night three guy. And then just never stopped talking. Like I haven't, not a day has gone by that I haven't spoken to him since we met. And I don't know. It was tough because he was moving to LA. He had just gotten a job that was bringing him down to LA. Mm-hmm. And I was about to go to shoot Fire Island in New York. And so the timing was weird because like, I remember I was like, by the end of the weekend, we were getting ready to leave Mexico. And I was like, well, we're going to be boyfriends and we have to figure out how that's going to work. And he was like, whoa, that's insane. You're crazy. I don't want a boyfriend.
He was single already. He was like, is he how
he was single and he was getting ready to move to LA in a new city. And he was like, he had just made this declaration to himself that he was like, I want to be single for the first time in my life. Cause he's a sort of a serial relationship person and like new city. He's hot, young, like it's going to be like chum in the water. And I wanted that for him too. I was like, I don't necessarily want to be your boyfriend right away.
Right.
Because I want you to sort of experience life and love and all of that. And
can
like,
you say, wait, sorry, can you say if you feel safe, how old you are at this point and how old he is at this point?
I'm 33. He is 27.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. So that's really perfect.
You know, like that's like prime slut era age to be, especially in a new city like Los Angeles. And so then, like, I don't know, it just like I visited him for Pride. He visited me at one point for while we were shooting Fire Island. He saw Pat doing I Don't Think So, Honey.
I really felt stupid about myself during
I felt really bad show. Too and it was the first time he'd ever seen me perform and I had to do I Don't Think So, Honey gum and I really flopped it hard.
Really?
Yeah, I forget what I did, but I remember
don't
I was
think so honey when it comes to gum.
It's true.
I had recently moved into a much bigger body and I felt bad about that even though I work every day to feel amazing about everything and I felt but I'll just I said someone's name wrong that I was just meeting. Oh, that night was like a flop for me, but whatever. But I'm glad Jam saw it.
Yeah.
He's
that
so
whole summer
sweet.
Was tough.
He is like the epitome of a take him anywhere type of person.
Oh,
he is sort of
best.
Like, he can talk to anybody. I don't worry about him anywhere. He is sort of like in social settings, he is the star. And I just sort of sit back and watch. And it's really actually, it's really wonderful because like, I am actually not super... I'm a shy girl at heart. A lot of people don't see that for me, but I am. And it is nice to just sort of let him. I say he's like a Furby. I can just sort of set him in front of any object and he'll start to talk and he'll be able to have like a full conversation.
He is really easy to talk to because we went away together and
yes,
he was like a safe place to like, he was a safe harbor to like have a conversation because he'll talk about his work, but not like he won't like. He's just good at like having a conversation with a new person, I think, and that's so rare and valuable.
It really is, and it's wonderful for my life because I'm constantly bringing him to events and just sort of setting him loose and letting him be Furby, to people.
He's pure. He's very sweet and pure. He seems.
Yes.
What
Where
was
he
gonna
from
say?
Before LA? Where was he moving from?
He grew up outside of Cleveland. Went to USC for college, and then was in San Francisco for 8 years.
So you're 35, Joel. Are we in the same grade or are you a grade above me?
Who's 33? I graduated in 06.
Me too. We're the same grade.
Okay. We're in the same grade.
Yeah.
It's both your Jesus years.
Yeah. 2 years ago is both our Jesus years. I'm going to be 35 in October. I feel fine about it.
My 30s have been the best years of my life, bar none.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Now that peptides are in the mix, I don't care about getting old.
I will say I am starting. I will say this happened to me at 35 that I did not expect is that I sort of have Sunday scaries, but for my 40s right now, like
oh,
in
interesting.
Life, like
you're
I am
even more.
I know.
Remember,
I know.
Men,
but like
remember,
I
men get better with age and women.
Yeah,
become less important.
It's
remember,
true.
Guys.
But here's my fear about this is that like I look very youthful. I'm very lucky that I look very youthful.
Me too.
But there's something. A little gauche about looking super young in your 40s, I find. 1,000, and then the other thing is that like I'm never gonna look daddy. You know, like
yes.
Gay guys who have like beards and body hair and like you know, like are sort of more masculine. Like they have the thing, totally. They have the, they have daddyhood to look forward to. Mm-hmm. I do not. Like, I don't know what, I don't know what 45 is going to look like for me and like how I'm going to appear sexually to other people. It's just, it's a crazy thought. Like it really is. And
I have, sorry.
No, go.
No, you go, y'all.
I was done. I was finished. I was opening the floor to you.
So the last words of your sentence as planned by this you were finished. And I. You were going to end a sentence with and I. I will say three things. One, I'll say is what you're saying about like, it's almost embarrassing to look young when you're like getting towards 40 is like, that's how I feel. And I also feel like it reminds me of like, okay, when there's just, I like a small dog, but when a small dog, I find out it's like 8 years old, I'm kind of like, that's so embarrassing. Why are you pretending you're a baby?
Yeah.
And then for, like, grow up. A small dog, when a small dog's eight, it needs to grow up and like be a bigger dog.
That is second, so true.
Second, it's actually, it wants you to think it's a puppy. It's like, I've been babying you this whole time, and which you've wanted, obviously. Secondly, you know, I was talking to someone who is in their 40s and they were saying that, could be anyone. Then that the 40s is like better than 30s even. Like 20s are bad, 30s are good, 40s are even better. And then lastly, I'll say my other friend is 50 or like low 50s. And he was saying that he was, and he's hot. And he was, I was like, I'm sure you still fuck. And he was like, he's like basically married, but like, I think it's kind of open, but like, he was like, yeah, like you still fuck a lot. People do want you to fuck, but no one wants to fuck you. Everyone wants you to fuck them. So you just have to like make that shift, I guess. But that's kind of like annoying if you want to get fucked.
Yeah, that and fucked. See, this is the thing. Like I've already very much made that shift in my relationship because John Michael is
at
the bottom. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And we have wonderful sex and I enjoy fucking him a lot. But like when I play outside the relationship now, because I am in a relationship where I am the primary top, you know, which is not a sentence I ever thought I'd be saying.
I know. I never thought I'd hear it out of your mouth.
That's where we have to then, check in with OG guests.
But it's just like, now I'm like, we're in an open relationship and like I'm sucking and fucking with all these sicko freaks all the time. And I do, tend to bottom more just for the variety's sake. It's like the whole, like, you know, it's a, why do the thing I can do at home, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, so, and I'm like, I don't know, like, does anyone really want, like, a 45-year-old bottom?
I don't know. I think people, like, are scared of, like, older holes, don't you think?
Yeah.
I can't, older holes,
title of up. Well, even I, like, sometimes, you know, I go on my aggregate gay porn site and there's like, you know, like any, it breaks it all down into like categories, and like one of the famous categories is old young. And what one thing I actually don't, oh, this brings me, I'm gonna say another thing about this porn site, but like, for one, they always say old young parentheses over 18. That makes me feel weird. I was like, yeah, of course, like, of course,
right. That's implied.
That makes me feel like if I'm clicking on it, it's like it thinks I'm looking for, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh my god, like, is this bad that I'm even clicking? Anyways, I'll click. And sometimes, like, then it brings you to, like, you know, all the thumbnails. And, like, sometimes it's, like, you'll see the older guy bottoms for the younger guy. And it's, like, oh, I don't want to watch that. You know what I mean? I'm a huge part of the problem. I'm a huge part of the problem. But I'm saying these porn places, like, they know their fingers on the pulse. They know what people want.
They're catering to an audience. So there are people out there. The thing is, like, I'll never look like someone's coach.
Yeah.
You know? Like maybe like
you might. I can see
well, like a college like a college men's diving coach. That's like the kind of coach that I'll look at. I'll never look like someone's football coach. You know,
you have quite broad shoulders, which I think is coach. I think that's coach. I think like you have never
great cap. That's very coach.
Yeah, I think that. Secondly, so anyway, so like the fact that there are those videos out running rampant loose on the websites means that there are people that are looking for older holes. Secondly, I think that, first of all, I keep getting this pop-up. You know when like you go to gay porn and like it's if it's a free site, like they'll give you pop-up ads and usually it'll be like an ad for another porn site or like some kind of like sex device or something. But
or
I
like my favorite, CGI porn.
Oh yeah! So oh my god! The only game like it's always like the only game where you can like
come
do.
In
I'm like
seconds with these big monster computer tits.
So lately, I keep getting this pop up. It's all these like 85-year-old women with their boobs out and like in their panties.
Come up. No offense, and those women deserve love, but I don't want to see their
cooties. Well, the VO is literally this. It says, fuck older grannies. Oh, no, it says, fuck ugly grannies.
No.
You know, it's like you're forced to fuck them. If you're on the site and you don't fuck an ugly granny when she wants it, then your membership is revoked with no money back. And it's like this weird dom thing where you pay to have, quote unquote, this is their quote, ugly grannies. Ugly grannies demand that you fuck them and you have to do it whenever they want. And I guess people get off on that. Like
me
that
when
feeling.
I moved to LA in my 40s, ugly granny demands you fuck her. I'm gonna put Cookie in her crate. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
Do you watch porn, Joel? Still?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Some people don't watch it.
That's crazy to me. That what sounds crazy.
What flavor do you like the best?
So I'm mostly on Twitter for my porn needs days. And I just sort of flit between like OnlyFans preview videos of people that I like and enjoy.
I do
without ever supporting them financially via OnlyFans.
So I do a thing where it's like I like when it's a studio, I like when there's HMU and like costumes and everything, but I like to feel like it's on a built set, like a set that's been built. I don't need them to be like on location or anything like that, but I will say, like, on my aggregate sometimes like OFs will come up, like, and I won't watch them, like, ethically I won't watch them because it's pirated. Do you know what I mean?
It's pirate. Yeah.
Every
yeah.
once in a while, I'll pay for an OnlyFans, like, more than anything to satisfy curiosity or something like that. But
for sure.
Something about OnlyFans, it's so, you know, I have to pretend so much with porn or something. Like, or it's like I need very specific narrative needs met by it. That, like, when it's OnlyFans, it's really hard to come up with a narrative that makes sense on an OnlyFans set, if that makes any sense at all. Do you know what I mean?
No, and the thing is I used to be very narrative focused too. Like the first like 15 minutes of a studio porn are sort of my favorite, like especially 1,000. When there's a story. Like I usually just watch the story and then skip to penetration. But with OnlyFans, there is this interesting thing, especially living in LA and knowing a lot of these people or seeing them out socially. Yeah. Like that's like a weird now sort of layer of sexual, like, because I'm like, oh, this person just cut me in line for the bathroom last weekend at a party, and now I'm watching them get fucked, and it feels like revenge.
Yeah, now I'm watching them fart. Now I'm watching them fart on a cake.
Yeah.
I remember. What was that like? Rashida Jones produced documentary about the porn stars.
Oh
LA.
Right, yeah.
I remember, like, I watched that. I found it very like effective, moving. And then, like, a few months later, I was, like, looking at porn. It was, like, one of the girls. And I was, like, I cannot watch this girl. Like, I just watched her story. And, like, it's too much. But shout out to that girl.
Shout out
but
to
have
that
I
girl.
Told you all about the French porn star, me and Brian love, whose OnlyFans we love to look at?
No.
I have to pee, so I'll be right back.
We love his work. His name is Manuel Ferrara. And he does he's, like, this big, like, meaty, thick French guy who just fucks the shit out of women. And he says, his catchphrase, as it were, is he says, I love that. But he's always like, I love that. So that's like become kind of staple in our household. I love that. But we love his videos. But Brian recently, like on the OnlyFans, he got sent an email that was just like literally a zoom in close up of the inside of his uncircumcised dick. Like just the zoom. And I was like, you know, it wasn't exactly what we wanted as a couple, but you never know what you're going to get on OnlyFans. But I
know, and there's something lovely about that, artisanal about that.
It was very artisanal to see the inside of it. I'd never seen that angle of a dick before, really, if I'm honest.
Wait, what angle of the dick?
It was kind of like the inside of an uncircumcised dick, like
the inside. Like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, like almost like the sock part. You know what I'm saying? Something was pulled in a way that I didn't expect, which is beautiful.
Joel, I've never hooked up with someone who was uncut.
What, really?
Yeah. I guess I haven't had that many hookups.
I'm an uncut king.
Really? I didn't know you were uncut.
Yeah. I'm an uncut king. I prefer it.
Yeah,
more
sure.
Pleasurable, I've heard.
I think so. And I think like, especially when you're bottoming for an uncut guy, it feels so much better than a cut guy.
Oh,
why?
Because there's more... the foreskin sort of, I think it's like, I actually think we're sort of, everyone is sort of evolutionarily predisposed to enjoy getting fucked by an uncut dick.
Because yeah, that's how God, that's what God intended.
That's what God, literally what God intended.
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's not cool.
Well, and yeah. I will, but I will say this really quickly, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but like, oftentimes I'll see like walking the streets of New York, even like one of those guys with a clipboard on the street will be like, hey, do you have a second to talk about male circumcision?
Oh my God.
And it's like, this is not the cause. Like, there's so many things going on. And I know you can care about a lot of things all at once.
Yeah.
But like, to make that the thing that you care about the most is, for me, like, I don't know. Like, there's just a lot going on in the world. And I don't have, I can't take that on. I can't take that on. Uncut person who like cares about this, like, I just can't take that on. I can't like sign my name to a clipboard to get like emails about it. You know, like, I just don't care that much.
You cannot shoulder that.
No, there is too much going on.
And then, so we kind of got in this, but Joel, who are you now? You're in this open relationship. Yeah. You live in Los Angeles. You're a homeowner. Admit it. You have a gorgeous home.
Oh yeah. Bleep it. But what neighborhood are you?
It's sort of central. It's like sort of central. I can see Hogwarts from my house. That's a clue. That's a clue to where I live.
I don't know what that means.
At Universal.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's a Hogwarts.
I know. I feel like you showed me your house. It looks so nice. Are you so happy there?
I am very happy. Yeah, I'm very happy. It feels sort of like I'm at this point in my life where nothing about my life seems real. And it is this amazing thing to kind of realize about yourself and your own chemical makeup, that you can still be deeply existentially unhappy even when you get everything you've ever wanted in your life.
Yeah,
that's kind of the whole thing, isn't it?
I feel a little bit like that right now, but I'm happy. I just have been so depressive lately. I've been very hard on myself lately. I'm going to work on that. Wait, I have a question. Where are you right now as we sit? Because you have a whiteboard. Is this your house?
I'm in my home office.
That was a screenwriter's whiteboard. I could tell that from my
And it's not getting used right now, honey.
Yeah, hasn't been touched.
Just for those listening, there's nothing on it.
No thoughts.
I'm so curious about this happiness journey, because I had lunch with someone I really love, respect, and admire yesterday, and she was kind of like, she was trying to like inspire me with this point, but it wasn't quite hitting. She was saying, she's older than us, and she was kind of saying, she was like, you know, don't you want to find, she's like, if you're down, she's like, if you're in a down spot, just think like how interesting life is, and like, don't you want to find out what's going to happen next? And I was kind of like, well, I feel like even when I see people who have things I want, they don't seem happy either. So that's a bit disheartening.
Yeah. Well, I think
what do you guys think?
Like, well, it means you don't have to waste time wanting what other people have because they're not happy. And I think that like it's like a daily thing. You have to convince yourself every single day.
I mean, for me personally, it is primarily chemical. And I just need to like find the right, I'm still figuring out my med situation to make everything sort of run a little bit more smoothly. Part of getting, I don't know, I have a lot of imposter syndrome about where getting to where I've been and like whether or not I deserve any of it. And I know.
Really? Like, as an outsider, I'm like, of course.
They wouldn't question if I was doing, but what's the question? What's that Taylor lyric from If I Was a Man? What I was wearing, if I was rude, they wouldn't question how much of this I deserve or something.
That's good.
Yeah.
Joel retracts the statement.
Yeah, that's exactly how I
feel. You should not have imposter syndrome. You've worked so hard.
You've been working yourself for years.
I think it comes with the territory. Like, I think like, if I don't know, I don't trust people who believe they deserve the things they have.
Me too.
Like, that's a very specific elder millennial disease, I feel, is that like,
I deserve more.
First time
I'm sitting here representing that group of people who are like, of course I deserve it and more.
First time this has been honored in years. But if you think you deserve what you have, seek treatment.
Oh my God, I keep forgetting about our famous catchphrase, seek treatment. Been used across the nation.
But
yeah, what you have, yes.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I think like also you get addicted to the struggle. Like,
yes,
you get like, especially being in New York, I think there's like a certain sort of effort that comes with living in New York, like a certain like it just is so draining. And I think you get addicted to it a little bit, like the work involved 100%. In living in New York.
Yeah.
And the grind of it all. Like, I came up in that. And I think that I'm just like used to a certain amount of like struggle. And now my brain is literally creating struggle in place of all of the like actual struggle that I've gone through to get to where I am, because it doesn't know what to do with itself otherwise.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if you're not working like crazy all the time that you just feel?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And like the thing is that my output is much worse. Like I have not written a good stand-up joke in years, literally years.
Me too.
Your brain's in so many different modes, I feel like. It's like, yeah, if you're shooting something, at least I'm like, you can't be thinking, it's so difficult to switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a lot. But
it's just, to be fair,
I think you also get
addicted.
You get addicted to the narrative of like, I have nothing now. I'm working. I'm going to have something one day. And then when the day comes where you do have something, you're like, oh, that narrative is over. And now you kind of have to recast yourself from like an underdog to kind of someone who has things that you always wanted. And that is like, can be guilt inducing or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Or you know how scary it is to be in the place where you don't have the things that you have. And then when you have them, you almost feel guilt for the other people that like don't have them yet or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially as like a person who grew up with truly nothing and like had and lived with like 7 roommates in New York for a while. It is this weird thing of like, well, now I own a house and that is crazy. And I never in a million years expected to be in this place in my life. And I feel like weird survivor's guilt about it
as a
former poor person. Mm. Because I don't know, you know, and like, I do like the strike is a big, you know, it's a part of the reason why I believe in the strike so deeply is that like, you know, this is so insane to say coming off the heels of me saying, I don't feel like I deserve anything I have, but like my big thing about like getting out of the system is that like, I'm exceptional and I'm an edge case. And like, yes, I was able to do it, but you shouldn't have to be exceptional to be able to afford a house.
100%.
Whenever there's like one of those stories in the news where it's like, this teenager worked 3 jobs so that they could afford a laptop and go to college.
Yeah.
It's like, and see, they did it. So why doesn't all the other poor teens do this XYZ thing to get to get into college or what have you? And it's like, well, that kid is exceptional. And yes, that's an amazing story, but you shouldn't have to be exceptional to afford to go to college or to eat food or, you know, it's just like this very American sort of like frame of mind where it's like, well, if you have nothing, like you should have to work 3 times as hard as the kid who has something in order to get anything. And it's like, no, like there should be systems in place so that people who are average have basic living needs and like access to education and housing, you know, like it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It is also because there's no room to be creative or do things or work on things if you're constantly struggling just to have like a safe place to sleep at night. It's really wild, especially in New York. Like, I love living in New York so much, but it is disheartening to just see how much it costs to be alive here.
Joel, where do you think I should live in LA?
I think I think near your gym.
I know, but
it all revolves
thing.
Around this gym where I will go and be weak and supported.
I think I might. There's a part of me that wants to live like truly in West Hollywood.
Why?
Because
he lives there.
No, I would.
No, Joel.
I'm actually feminist. I'm actually feminist, Joel.
I'm feminist, and that I don't want to live near my boyfriend.
I think I feel like I've always lived in the Brooklyn of places, and I want to live in like the thick of it for once.
Yeah,
in life.
The hell's
I think. Is. I think it sounds like you want to live in Manhattan, New York, where you just left.
Well, that wasn't really Manhattan. That was the Brooklyn of Manhattan.
Yeah, but even like West Hollywood, it's like. It's not like there's like just people milling about. There are some stretches.
Yeah, it's actually WeHo is a little bit more. It's certainly more walkable than the part of LA that I live in now.
Right. Well, that's like it's definitely settled into like I've settled in. You know, my recovery community, my recovery rotation is very WeHo-centric. So no matter what, but my gym is East-centric. But I, so no matter what, I think I'll be either driving west for
what kind of
my
car
recovery
are you gonna
meetings.
Get, sweetie?
I want to get a Jeep so bad. Don't you think if I had a right. car, like...
Cars have
a what car. Is it about people in our age group that are fetishize Jeeps?
I think
like,
it's
so
Jeep.
Hard.
I think it's the Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, it's definitely yeah. Clueless. It's absolutely Clueless. But like, it is crazy that like everyone that I know who's 35 wants a Jeep.
When
it
I was
feels
in
so
high school,
free and it's like chic but low maintenance. It's like I'm a guy's yeah. girl. Like I get it. I'm in a fucking
it's
Jeep.
Cute. It's cute, but it's kind of masculine. But it's like yeah. I think that like when I was in high school, I did not have a car, but I wanted a car so bad, and I wanted a Jeep so
bad. It's
gender
fucked to have a Jeep.
I was like, if I could have a Jeep, or if I could have a, I mean, just anything. I've never had a car. If I had a car, I just that's my thing right now. Where I'm like, that's my kind of like golden calf. Like if I can get a car, I could that. Would make me happy or something like that.
I have to tell you about Jeep culture though. Like I have a friend who has a Jeep in the city and we were driving with him and like he says that it's like, and I've witnessed this, it's a thing when you drive by other Jeeps, you sort of like nod at them like you're a part of the community. And one time we were at a stoplight and there was a Jeep next to us and the guy was smoking a joint and he opened his window, passed us the joint and then let us keep the joint as we drove off. And I was like, that's Jeep culture. That's the community that you are buying into when
I'm
you buy a Jeep.
It's those like life is good bumper stickers.
Yeah. I'm going to be like a pariah of the Jeep community. Like I'm going to have one, but people are going to be like, he's on a Jeep's Jeep. It's not a Jeep's Jeep.
Yeah, they're going
like,
to they're gonna be handing you the joint out the window and you're going to be like, no, no,
yeah,
I
you don't
I,
support.
No,
no, you're going to relapse.
I'm in recovery. I'm in recovery. Yeah, they're going to say he doesn't support other Jeep owners and that's not cool. But,
I did
Anyways.
Feel when I was in LA last week and I was driving, I was like, I did have a realization that was like, wow, I am, you know, 31 years old. I don't have a single thing to my name. It would be nice to have some sort of grounding force.
Yeah.
A rental apartment. Like they could blow this over in 5 seconds.
What was I going to say, Joel?
But I do have a couch.
Wait, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but Joel, what do you think of the new, not the new Roni cast, but like the girls trip cast? To me, it leaves some to be desired.
There's a couple of like notable people missing from it, obviously.
Totally. Here's my deal. I don't necessarily need to see Luann, Sonia, and Morgan interact with each other ever again. I've seen hours of it. I loved it when it was happening. I don't need to see them chatting or going on a trip together. There's value if I could see what Ramona would be like on a trip with Jill, or if what Luann and Bethany would be like, or even Luann and Bethany we got kind of recently, but like one of I guess I need like a Jill or a Bethany, or I said this to Matt, but like if money's a little tight, like an Alex McCord, like I know she had a rough time on the most recent one, but like, I just think like, I want to see them have to interact with people truly from their past. And yeah. It's my, Kristen, I'm glad Kristen's there.
Same. I actually think Kristen is sort of underrated. And the thing about, I was talking about this yesterday, is that like the thing about these young, formerly young housewives is like, yeah. I do sort of want to check in on them 10 years later and see like, now they're the appropriate age to be a housewife.
Totally.
Finally. And like, what does that look like?
One of my friend's favorite, I think, quotes from, and I don't think, well, one of my friend's favorite quotes is, who are you to get me wet? Who are you to get me wet? When Kristen famously got Ramona wet.
Kristen? I don't know if I've ever met her.
She was like a 2-season wonder. She was like boring.
She had eyelashes, right?
She,
that was her
well,
thing?
she had a pop of color nail polish line coming out. And Bethany famously said that she thought that wasn't a good name for a business, but Kristen hadn't asked for input. And so that
Bethany's Instagram presence is one of the best things I've ever seen.
Did you see the one that was like, I'm going to Olive Garden for the first time, come along?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really funny of Bethany to sort of come out and be like, these women are desperate. These women are desperate for doing housewives, when she literally had to pivot to talking about housewives because nobody cared about anything else that she tried to do outside of housewives.
I know, but does she say these women are desperate? These women are desperate?
Yeah, she came out and she was like, these women are desperate.
These women are desperate. These women are desperate. I
maybe she didn't say it twice, but I think she said it once.
I'm sure she said it. I think
one time wonder.
I don't know. I listened to the first few episodes of her podcast and I actually did think it was really fair. Like it felt like getting a real behind the curtain look. It felt like she
like, you obviously talked about the toxicity of being a housewife, but it also feels like she will always, I mean, she'll always be self-aggrandizing, this much we know. She'll always be like, I'm exceptional and I deserve what I get. Like, she'll be like, and that's good, and you should have to be me. But like, she, I do think will always say like, thank, like, this platform is why I have what I have. But also she'll be like, but I used it right and I did it right. And yeah, that is true. You know what I mean? She throws out these numbers of like the ratings of her seasons versus others, where it's like, who's your source here? You know, where are you getting? I wish that the AMPTP would be as open about their numbers as Bethany is about hers, because she is talking about her numbers all the damn time. But
wait,
and what?
I don't want to alienate Kat for too much longer.
No, I don't mind.
I know you're used to it. But I really did quickly want to ask you, like, post threesome, do you consider yourself open now? Is that a mechanism of being open, or do you consider yourself monog still?
I think it made us more monog, because I realized that having sex with someone else with my partner, that does make me feel closer to my partner.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. I will say,
different.
Yeah, different. Like, everything, everybody is different, obviously. I will say, I don't necessarily think having sex with other people makes me feel closer to my partner, except when sometimes we find out we've had sex with the same person recently. But like,
oh my God,
it makes me, it literally is. It's like, you'll never guess who put a load in me the other day. You'll never, it's the craziest thing.
We went to summer camp together. Yeah.
This guy, that guy, it's the guy that you thought was being rude to the security lady. He turned out to be a really nice guy. And but no, it does make me appreciate my partner a lot more, because I'm just having not necessarily bad sex, but sex with bad people. Like, who are so dull and like not it. And I'm like, even if I'm having good sex with this person, I could never be in a relationship with this person. And it sort of does bring me back home in a lot of really specific ways. But we also have, like, I don't know, it's
what
interesting.
What are your open rules with you?
Well, see, this is the thing. Like, we used to like really communicate a lot and have a lot of rules. But then it slowly became this thing of like, I would hook up with someone and it wasn't breaking the rules necessarily. It didn't break any of our written rules, but it would still be something that would be hurtful to him. And so now our rule is like, I know you so well and you know me so well, you know what would hurt me and I know what would hurt you. And we just don't do that. And it, that involves a lot of communication, because like the thing is about the rules is like, when there's a rule, you, at least like in my deranged brain, like, you just find ways to like do shit that is like not technically breaking the rules, but like, you know, it is. And so like in it's a lot of like, it's a lot of communication, it's a lot of figuring shit out, it's a lot of like, you know, sometimes we've only had one fight over, and it was something shitty that I did, and it's so fun. Okay, so I literally went and hooked up with a guy at an after party while my boyfriend was there, and he got mad at me, not because I did it, but because I didn't tell him where I was going. And we got in a fight about that aspect. And it was just literally about like respect of him being like, hey, I'm gonna excuse myself to hook up with this guy. And it was a wild fight, because I was like, oh, you're not mad that I hooked up with the guy, you're mad that I just didn't tell you where I was going. So
like,
that's sort of the state of affairs for us. But it works. Okay. And the thing is, it's ever evolving too. Like, we reserve the right to like change our minds at any given point in time, you know?
Yeah. You're not a jealous person?
You know what? I thought I would be. I thought I'd be much more jealous, but I am so convinced that I'm just like so in love with him, and I know that he's so in love with me that like, we used to have a no fly list of like people that like he couldn't have sex with and people I couldn't have sex with. And it included people, I don't know, that I was like nervous he would fall in love with.
Right.
And now I'm like, there's just no way. There's just no way. Like, there's no one on my list anymore for him.
Aww.
It was like, it included people that like broke up with him, but like he didn't break up with, or maybe like would still be hung up on or something like that. And now, since meeting those people, I'm like, oh, I have nothing to worry about. I do not feel threatened by anybody, mostly because like the way we are when we're alone together is so disgusting and like weird. And like you see like the basest, like not necessarily even worst, but just like weirdest, most true version of this person. And it's like, you're never going to show that to somebody else. Certainly not, you know, like, so I just like, I don't feel threatened. I don't feel weird or scared about it.
Yeah.
It's just like a totally separate thing.
I can't tell if I would be able to do open, like but towards the end of my last relationship, I was very open to being open and was like, yeah, let's be open. But like, we never fully really did it. And then like, but now
if I can though, can say, I think like the difference in situations is that like, that was, correct me if I'm wrong, was almost sort of a Hail Mary, like, last ditch effort to save the relationship, or at least make yourself more comfortable within the relationship.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Whereas like we started being open by necessity, and then just we never found a reason to stop. And
yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, we're both very sexual people, and it works for us.
I would need to feel really good about my appearance, I think, for it to work for me. Mm. I think it's definitely in current circumstances, I think, if that makes any sense at all. But then also like, and then like the showing the basis part of yourself is, I mean, that was how my older one was. I get fearful that like, I think when something is new, it's like little things like, I wonder when we will fight, or I wonder when you'll find out this part of me that I think is actually quite disgusting. You know what I mean? Like that is so scary when you haven't done it with someone yet, but whatever. That's just the nature of being alive.
I know, it's so annoying.
And what's next for you, Joel? What do you want to be?
Well, now that so many of your dreams have come true, what do you?
I guess I just want to keep going. I want to be like, I think I said that, I think I literally said this on the last time I was here, and it hasn't necessarily happened, but I'm getting closer, is I want to be like, I want to be gay boy, like Issa Rae, Lena Dunham.
Yes, you did say that.
You know, like I want to be the multi-hyphenate king of HBO, which I'm about to do Full Frontal for the first time. Is that crazy?
Wait,
that's amazing.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
In what?
We'll have to bleep it.
Are you nervous to do Full Frontal?
Feel? That's so exciting.
I'm like, okay, so like famously my nudes have been online all over the place. They get reposted on these websites. Oh, like,
clearly I haven't seen it. I thought here I'm thinking you're cut.
Clearly we aren't,
Sean.
And so that seal's already been broken. Like a lot of people outside of my control have seen my penis. And so, and I'm not like ashamed of my dick by any means. Very happy with my penis. Am I sort of like, because the thing is like when my nudes leaked, it was all my hard cock. It was all hard cock.
Flaccid is hard.
Flaccid's a different story.
It's art.
So I am sort of like, well, how hard am I allowed to be on camera?
Yeah. Well, flaccid is also though like anything can happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So it's kind of
no one has expectations from flaccid. It's like, oh, that's flaccid.
Yeah. So and no one knows what. Yeah. So that almost is. There could be relief in that. I hope that's so helpful to hear.
No. this is the other thing that's got me in my head, which is that like in the script it literally says like his big cock flops out.
Oh my god.
And I'm
god.
Like,
well then congrats
okay,
on the cast.
Here's
congrats
the thing.
Booking.
Like,
hey,
yeah. Yeah.
Did you have to show to book?
No, I didn't. They're truly going off vibes.
That's because big cock is a state of mind, Joel.
Yeah, no, and like I certainly gave that in the audition, but
I'm
just
excited.
Like it's not gonna it like if that's an integral part to the character, then like we'll have to use prosthesis.
Oh my god!
Wow, yeah,
but no,
that big dick. What was that show? That big fake
White Lotus
dick?
Or Love Life?
Yeah, Love Life.
Or sex life, sex life,
whatever.
Sex life,
sex life.
Yeah, that was season two of that.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm really, I'm mostly just pumped about it. I feel,
oh my God,
I feel
it's gonna
good,
be so
and
fun.
I feel so, like
I love that girl. Like, yeah. Well, now we can't talk about the show, but I love that girl.
Yeah.
And do you want to get married now that you're in a different place with relationship?
Kid.
Yeah, so okay, this is complicated. So I do want to, we do want to get married.
Yeah.
I think like if we. stay together. If we're like solid in a solid place in like a year and some change, I might probably pop the question.
Oh my wow, like, you think you're pro?
I would like to be married before I'm 40, I think, mostly because I want a fun party. I don't even really care about the institution of marriage. I just care about throwing a party that of like course. Actually seem that like people will actually want to come to and like have fun at, you know, like I don't even care about the ceremony necessarily. I just want like a fun ass party.
Yeah, this ceremony sucks. I'm not having any ceremony if I ever get married.
Yeah, it's just like I don't need like what am I reading quotes to you for? I just like you get it. And then children, he really wants kids.
I have
sort of famously always been on the fence about it, sort of always actually in fact leaning no. Yeah. But now that I am with him, there is this thing of like, and it's a complete narcissism, but it is this thing of like, well, we would create something really cool.
Yes. Yeah.
And not even like, genetically speaking, just like we would raise like a bomb ass kid, I feel.
Totally.
And so like it's like this weird, it comes from a place of narcissism, but so we are leaning, but it is like scary to read about like how fast the world is going to shit. And like what kind of world are we bringing a child into? Like that's always my concern. Like well, there was literally a tornado in LA, and it's like, what?
When
like,
was that?
Did you know this like a couple months ago? You have to, in most states in America, you have to take a psych eval before you get your a vasectomy. So literally there are people out there like, are you sure you don't want to have kids? Like, it's crazy that you don't want to have kids. It's crazy. What?
That's crazy. I'm more than ever leaning towards like, it's not for me, like parenthood, not for me. But how
really? Wow. That's surprising to me.
I've always been on the fence because though I do enjoy kids, I like to do what I want to do, and I don't.
He likes kids the way you like dogs.
Yeah.
Like I don't have that thing that's like I need the I don't really have the kid the thing of like, oh, I would make something cool like or whatever. I totally get that, but I don't think I have it, and I'm kind of like, I just want my life. I have enough trouble myself. Like I don't need to like start trying to help someone else. But I kind of feel like, yeah, but also how would you, and then I'm also get caught up in like, I don't know how I would do it. Like, do you have thoughts on how you would do it?
I think like we would find random Korean egg donor and his sperm probably, because I think he cares way more about
bio.
The genetic component, obviously, than I do because of you know, my life.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Sometimes like adoption is a really complicated issue in this country.
Totally.
Transracial adoption, especially, I think that like we should be doing more to keep families, to make people's lives such that like we don't have to split up families. I don't want to get into a whole thing on this pod, but like, it's not that I don't believe in adoption. I obviously do, because of the reality of the world that we currently live in. But I just think in an ideal situation, like, we need to do that, I guess. And that's sort of, I don't know, it's weird. It's not something that we've deeply talked about, honestly, and we might he might change his mind, I might change my mind. I don't think it's a deal breaker either way, ultimately. At least I think I don't
know. Totally. No, it's like, yeah, it's confusing. It feels like everything is hard to decide.
Everything's hard to decide. Whenever I'm around babies, I'm like, this is boring as fuck.
The thing is babies are everything. I can't deal with like, I can deal with babies and like little teenagers.
Yeah, same. The 8 to 12 range is, I think, hard.
Yeah. And even like, even my niece who's like 5 is annoying as shit. Like, she's like shy. She doesn't want to talk to me because, and my sister like claims it's because she's flirting with me. She's like boy crazy at 5. And so like, she's like, oh, she's just flirting with you. And I'm like, that's not comforting to hear.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
Oh, cool. Then I'll just go check myself into jail.
Yeah. I was like, in this climate, you can't say shit like that to a gay person.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
I feel like we should wrap.
Oh, right. Do you guys feel hot today?
I felt really not hot yesterday, last night. I think like something about the hoodie and the hat is making me feel like kind of hot. I need to shave. Joel, what about you?
Yeah, I do. I kind of, my skin is, I was having a moment with it the last couple of weeks and it's sort of finally cleared up. So I'm happy about that. And I'm starting, because I have to be nude on cam, I really dialed in my diet a little bit this week. And like, and whenever I do that, it feels good. It's so hard to take care of yourself when you're in a relationship, because it's so easy to just
1,000%
be gross with another person.
It's having to be gross with another person.
It's really heavy. Like, it's just so nice.
Like, life is literally, all life is about is like ordering takeout, watching TV, and like
exactly. It's so, that's the thing. Like, we're monogamous in terms of our media diets. Like, I would feel very betrayed if you watched something that we watched together with someone else.
Totally.
But
you gotta check in. You always gotta check in.
Like, fully take as many loads as you want, but do not watch Yellow Jackets with someone else, you know.
I need to get into that, the new season. You actually kind of bad now.
The end of the first season was bad,
so I'm not shocked.
Well, you told me that, Joel. I did check in with someone else who was like, because you said it was like kind of CW, I think, or WB. And like, for me, that, to me, the first season, like, I watched the first episode of Yellow Jackets. I had been looking forward to it for a year, was coming in expecting True Prestige, and I was like, oh, I don't like this show, and then reframed it in my mind as more of like networky or like WBE, and then really enjoyed it and had fun. So I kind of, I feel like I've been in that headspace with it for a little while. And then there, Ariel, my friend Ariel Carlin, who's so funny, I asked her, because she, me and her really kind of discussed Yellow Jackets, because she writes on Hacks and it was like airing when The Room was going on. And I was like, what are you thinking? And she's also someone who, like, is also up to date on Grey's. Like, she's not someone who's, like, she'll enjoy a show.
The taste level is varied, yeah.
We have a similar high-low. We have a similar high-low palette. And so she's enjoying it. So that gave me hope. But I'm watching the whole first season again because I don't remember anything. And I'm almost done with the first season again.
The end of it is so bonkers.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't feel hot today. Miss Cookie kept me up all night. Shout out to Miss Cookie. I'm in a really interesting place with my body and face, in which I hate it, but that will change in probably 3 hours. Who fucking knows? And it's a summer of writing. So that'll make me feel hot. Once I start
my writing. Crush of the week is Elizabeth Olsen in Love and Dead. Mm. I think she is so good in it. She's so likable in it. And like, she gives such an amazing performance, and it's like, makes the show so fun.
Okay, you go, Kat. I have to think about
crush this. Crush of the week. I know this is tough. My crush of the week is, kind of in a depressive headspace, I'm realizing. My crush of the week is The Only Way Out is Through. Is that, my crush is the idea that the only way out is through.
Wow. So existential. I'm like reaching for my phone. I guess like, because I'm about to see him, and he is sort of forever my crush, is my trainer, Tyler.
Oh my God, hot.
Sweet straight man who, you know, used to work at, I met him at Pharos. He's a former Pharos instructor.
Is he married?
Oh my God, Tyler.
He is married.
Kids?
He is married to a woman. But loves, like, every time I meet someone from Pharos and like, they're like, oh, are you still training with Tyler? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, I jerk off to him. And then I immediately run to Tyler and say like, so-and-so jerks off to you. And he loves to hear that. So
who wouldn't love that?
Yeah.
I'll have to ask my friend if he knows him, because he's been going to Pharos for a few years.
Probably does.
Cool. You should ask him.
I'll ask him if he jerks.
Are you guys mad at me because Miss Cookie was being naughty and I'm in a depressive headspace?
No.
No. Cool.
No, I'm not mad at you. I feel really happy to see you, if that makes any sense at all.
It does make sense. I'm really happy for the project you have coming up that you just told us about in secret, and I hope to see you in person after that so we can dish.
Yeah, absolutely. When are you coming to LA?
I just left, so probably not for a while. I was there for like one day, and then we went to San Francisco to see Brian's niece, hence my, she's so cute, but I was like, damn, this is intense.
San Francisco, one of the most beautiful American cities, but also sort of bad in many ways.
Well, yeah, like the park near their house is like stunning, gorgeous. We're literally hiking, but the vibe is so bad. Like the vibe out, we went out to dinner one night, I was like, everyone here is a loser.
Yeah.
And I say that with love towards my community. Everyone's going to be mad. I love you. Whatever.
Are you guys mad at me?
Not at all. But are no. you? I felt bad. I kind of snapped you on the phone yesterday, but I was like doing a million things at once. I wasn't really thinking. But are you mad at me?
No, I'm not mad at all. Cool. I just feel like.
What's wrong?
There's something wrong with my brain lately. I just keep messing up things up, I feel like. So I feel like stressed or something, or like what's wrong with me or something.
Well, I think you have a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
You have a lot on your plate.
We all know about plate size in this podcast.
Yeah. Exactly. And
I could never go for a role where it says his huge plate flops out.
So good.
I have to say though, like yes, maybe like you there was like time mix-ups with this recording today, Pat, but like let's go back and like turn the pages back in our diaries to like 5 years ago when like every week on this podcast it was what did Pat forget in a cab,
I know.
And like that's not your life anymore. You're a singer who remembers his wallet, you know, and like I think that needs to be celebrated.
As we always wanted to be when we started the pod.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Jerl. We love you so much. Have a beautiful day. Send Tyler our love. I'm gonna jerk off to the idea of him tonight.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you so much. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck.